Doom Nation, we are back, and we are in a new spot thanks to our friend Abart over here. We are at Pete's Saloon. Doom Nation, as always, thank you for joining us. It's Skaggs and the Captain, as always. As usual, please like, share, and subscribe us. We're getting the subscriptions. We want to keep them rolling. Thank you guys for all the views. We really appreciate it. We're actually starting to get some back and forth with some listeners, which is pretty cool. I've seen that going down on YouTube a lot.
Yeah, there's been a couple spam posts on, on our YouTube comments. It's weird.
So you want to tell them what we're doing today?
And so we came to visit our buddy Anthony here. You want to go by Abart or Anthony?
Whichever one, doesn't matter. Anthony, Abart, asshole, scumbag, whatever it is, whatever it is.
And we're at his place called Pete's Saloon. It's in Elmsford, New York. And we're going to talk a little bit about like how COVID lockdowns, restrictions, Cuomo, all that stuff, how it affected business.
Yep. And what else? Well, as you guys have known from the last episode, we are raffling off a PS5 digital edition. The donor is going to take a portion of the funds that we make and donate them to the small business funds. And hopefully a place like this could get some of these small business funds. Dave Portnoy, help our boy Anthony out over here.
Yes, please, please.
Yeah. So it's $55 an entry. We need to have a minimum of 30 entries for this raffle to take place. If you prove that you follow us on Instagram and subscribe to us on YouTube, you get a $5 discount. So with that being said, let's help these small businesses. Let's get somebody a PS5 and let's start the show.
Let's do it.
Yep. What we got here? Some bullet bourbon,
yes,
boys.
First
cheers.
Of all,
to Cuomo.
Yeah. To Cuomo getting impeached tonight.
Yeah, well,
from your mouth to God's ears.
I like how easy everybody was. Just bullet on the rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're all set.
Simple. Just get it done.
Bourbon.
So let's start with my first question, I guess. I know it was always like your dream to own a restaurant. So Pete's Saloon was already here, right? You I guess, took over. You bought it, right? When did that happen? When did you buy it?
You ready for the can just to get opened
up? Yes, go for it.
So,
go nuts.
March 11th, 2020.
Oh, no.
No.
I wake up. Find out my wife's pregnant. Thinking life is great, life's awesome, right? March 15th, Cuomo shuts it down. I was supposed to put pen to paper March 19th.
Oh, my God.
So the one good thing he did for me, he shut it down when he did, right? Deal happened back in July, August of 19. We kept throwing things around back and forth, numbers here and there, because I have the building as well.
Oh. Hold on a second.
Oh, you're good. Sorry.
Yeah, don't step
on
that.
Me.
No, we stepped on the headset thing.
Sorry. It's a portable setup this time.
Yeah.
So
on the fly.
Difficulties.
No, so we have the building as well as the restaurant. So we were going back and forth in the real estate deal, making sure the numbers lined up, making sure his tax returns lined up to everything. So things got pushed back. I'm sitting there going, let's go. March 1st. I wanted St. Patrick's Day, right? We all know what St. Patrick's Day is. Thank God I didn't.
Keep talking. It's fine.
I was in talks, looking at a lot of different places. Westchester Burger Company over in Rye was a place I was looking at. They had just went out. And then I found out why they went out. The landlord wanted $29,000 a month in rent. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of made sense. So the deal came about for here. One owner, 43 years. Great customer base, great staff. And it was easy to do. It was an easy deal to do. The owner was motivated to get out. You know, he wanted to retire. Yeah. He had his house ready to go for him, built down in the Carolinas. He couldn't wait to get out of New York, and it just worked out for me.
That's great.
That's so awesome.
It's a step in the right direction. That's what I keep saying.
Yeah. Definitely.
When someone writes my autobiography in 20 years, they're going to pick this is the chapter. Like, who the fuck has a baby and buys a restaurant in a pandemic?
Yeah,
at the worst possible time ever.
It was an interesting time to start.
I mean, I looked at my wife. I'm like, cool. I'm going to fake my own death, move to Arizona. You can collect the life insurance, take care of the kid.
That was a real option, too, probably.
I was ready to make phone calls.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, too, because we had a buddy who got married the weekend after the election. And I was like, you understand, we might have to have this wedding in, like, the woods with, like, shotguns and stuff. We might be part of the resistance by then.
I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. 2020 was just such a disaster of a year.
Yeah, this could not have been easy.
It definitely wasn't easy. And it wasn't... Disaster for me is tough to say because...
Yeah, that's okay. I think there's like a power surge or something maybe that's affecting it. But it's still recording, so...
Did I pay the Con Ed bill? Yeah, I did.
It's Cuomo's already on us, bro. He's going to shut you down for talking bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, 2020 was obviously horrible for everybody. I don't like to downplay the situation because, look, people did die. The virus is out there. I'm not a non-virus believer. I'm not a, this is all bullshit, it's made up, the government's making it up just to get Trump out, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's there. I get it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, yeah, it sucked, but I had a kid, doing well.
Yeah, priorities.
You know, left my other job, got this place going. It's like, all right, yeah, it was a step. It was a speed bump. That's how I'm going to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're making make the best of it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Speed bumps is a pretty, pretty fair way to put
it. Yeah. Think of it this way. If you make it through this, like, it's smooth sailing, because I can't imagine it's going to get too much worse.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Look, the biggest thing that hurts us is the capacity restrictions. That's what hurts us. You know, when I get calls from people who want to come and do a party for, you know, 35, 55 people, it's like, yeah, I could do it for you, but you can't have more than 10 people at your table. Like, if your immediate family is 12, you got to have an awkward conversation.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you. Like, right now, what is the restrictions? Like, what are the guidelines that are telling you guys to do?
50% capacity. Everyone has to order food, because if you don't eat, COVID gets you.
Yes. And if you stand up, COVID gets you.
If you stand up, it gets you. But if you're sitting down, it doesn't get you.
No, like right now, we're safe. We're at the table. Yes. I don't have to have my mask on. Right? Nope. We're totally safe.
We are completely safe. This is a safe space here.
Yes.
This is a safe space.
But if we stand up, that's
done. Death.
Okay.
Death right away. So 50% social distance. Staff has to wear masks. Temperature checks everybody. When there was an issue in the Elmsford area back in November, I think. I sent out my staff. They went and got tested. Anyone who didn't have insurance, we picked up the check for it. Health department came in, brought them upstairs, showed them all the records.
Really? So they came in?
Well, they came in because somebody put something out there that Pizza Loon, Pizza Loon, they called it Pizza Loon. So it was easy to figure out who did it. Everybody has COVID. The whole place has COVID. Like, that couldn't be the first.
So fake news already off the bat.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, cool. So the inspector came in, same guy who did my inspection in September when I took over. Nice guy, didn't, you know, break any rules. Was like, you have all your paperwork. I gave him the New York Forward plan that Cuomo made everybody put together. Showed him every employee's file. I'm like, I can't show you the full file because it's confidential. I'm like, here are all their negative tests. There's no positive results anywhere. They're all rapid and PCRs that are both double negatives. I'm like, I covered myself, everyone's fine, and nobody's forced to work. I told the staff, listen, if you feel unsafe and you think someone may have it and you want to take off, that's your right. I'll pay you pursuant to the law. Back then, I think it was 14 days. Now they're allowed 10 days paid, which, you know, for a small business, it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, but what am I going to do? I mean, that's someone who works here, who's been here. I mean, my newest staff member's been here 7 years.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, did you lose anyone?
No. Okay. We haven't lost anybody. Newest staff member's been here 7 years. My longest tenured one is 31, because I'll be 32 in July. Wow.
So, yeah, so when you were born, he started working here.
Pretty much.
And now you're his boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. It's very weird. But it's fun.
So just to backtrack, you didn't really take over until...
No. September 8th, we closed. We came here to open that morning, find out from the people who do the POS system that the old owner accidentally took the whole server instead of just the USB drive. So we didn't... We actually opened up on 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So you weren't really, like, affected by the non-essential business closure
thing? No. So I didn't get affected by it. If anything, I actually benefited a little bit. Bought me time, and because he shut down for 2 months instead of staying open for just takeout, when we went back to the negotiating table between myself, my attorneys, his attorneys, everybody, we were going back and forth. I'm like, well, you legally didn't have to close. You know, I was purchasing a business that was open. Now it's a business that was open. It closed. It's a pandemic. Everyone knows the place. Now I have to worry about the PR coming back at me. It's like, why did they close for 2 months? Did somebody get COVID? Did Pete, the old owner, did he get COVID? Is that why he sold? Like, I don't want to deal with that
stuff.
That's
and I don't want him to deal with it either. I mean, my big thing to him and the staff when I took over was, listen, this is same book, new chapter. You know, we're not changing the name. We changed the logo. We're going to do a little bit of renovations inside, nothing major. But in a sense, I'm carrying on his legacy.
Yeah.
You know, it's his name that's on the building. Yes, I'm the one who's here, but I don't want that negative PR.
No.
You know?
No.
Right.
So it actually helped a little bit.
Yeah, it's annoying how the whole situation could kind of, people could just make something up on social media or spin some sort of narrative. Maybe if they, maybe you have like somebody who didn't like the restaurant or didn't like,
or
the,
just didn't like,
you know,
from
or
like
didn't like you, right? And they'll just
15
make something up, post it on social media, and now you have the health department coming down on you.
Yeah,
you know, we've become, you know, the nanny state. The you know,
yeah, everybody's got to overlook you.
It's, yeah,
it's have you ran into any issues with any health inspectors or anything like that?
Health inspectors, no. Karen's, yes.
Okay.
I've had customers come in and literally tell me, I want my table 8 feet apart. And I'm like, miss, it's a Saturday night, it's 7 o'clock. I'm allowed 70 people in the restaurant.
This is I don't care if you're 69 and 70.
I'm like, it's 6 feet. It is what it is. Yeah. She's like, no, I want 8. I was like, okay. I'm like, do me a favor. Go in your car, go to your house, take your dining room table, and space it 8 feet from your kitchen table, and go home and eat. Like, This isn't McDonald's, not Applebee's, or I'm a corporate conglomerate getting PPP money, which I can't qualify for because I wasn't open.
Really?
So you got no assistance.
I got nothing, which, look, in a sense, I applied to the Barstool Fund just because I'm like, fuck it, if someone's out there and wants to help. But my mentality was, I didn't care about the money. I want the PR.
Yeah.
I want the social media presence.
Yeah.
I just want to be out there.
Yeah, Portnoy comes.
Smart ideas. Yeah, smart ideas.
I don't care about the money. So I submitted the video. Like, listen, I tried to milk the shit out of the video. I had my kid in the video. He was like 12 days old. My wife's like, why are you bringing him upstairs to your office? I'm like, I need him. Like, I need to try to get this.
You heard that, Portnoy?
Yeah. And I was going back and forth with the COO. I was going back and forth with one of the controllers. They were asking for all the payroll invoices just to make sure the payroll was never turned off. They've kind of gone radio silent on us, but if I had to guess, it's because we're too new. You know,
right.
The place has been here 43 years, going on 44 in August. But I'm the new guy taking over, and it is what it is. But in a sense, I kind of like not having any of the assistance because I'm doing well right now.
You're going to eventually owe it back or something like that, now.
Well, not even that. What I'm saying is, right now we're doing okay.
You know? Yeah.
By no means is there just money flowing in and like, I'm taking private jets down to Florida and this and that, but
Cancun with Cruise.
I mean, that's a whole nother. Jesus Christ. There needs to be just a common sense test to get into Congress.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
I was just listening to something that on the way in. I was, you know, if you want to get into Cruise, I was surprised that he sounds like a pretty smart guy for the most part, you know, but I mean, that was really tone deaf and just
it was
dumb
the worst timing
the
he could have done this.
I mean, you leave your dog by himself? Come on. I know it's a poodle, but like, that's what bothered me more, personally. Like, I don't care what the senators and what them do. Like, what did Biden do? What did he do? What did he act on right away? Mm-hmm. Well, God, it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but back to the PPP stuff. Like, in a sense, we're doing okay here. Like, we do a lot of takeout. We do a lot of Grubhub, a lot of Uber. The name is out there. Social media has gotten much better. So to me, it's more of like, okay, if I'm doing okay now during a pandemic, what's
it's only up from here
when it goes up. So it's like,
that's a good way to put it.
You know what? I don't want the assistance. I want this. What I want, and we'll get into Cuomo and talk about it, is I want America back.
Yeah.
I want to be the only person responsible for this place failing.
Yeah.
If it fails because of my stupidity, because I start doing dollar drinks like the turtle.
I remember those days.
Those were fun. Those were fun for us. But.
Yeah. But if that's why I fail, I can live with myself. I can go to sleep at night knowing I did everything I could.
Yeah.
It failed because of me. But right now, he's the one who's controlling what's going into my bank account and what's not.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, too, because since when does...
I know.
I understand, you know...
The emperor.
Like we said at the beginning, obviously, there's a virus. It's dangerous. But since when does, you know, the governor have the ability to tell you can or can't work, etc.? They just made up a power that they have, and he still has it, right? And now this new thing is kind of threatening him. We'll get into that at some point, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's never been a case in history where any type of pandemic or anything like this has ever shut down the economy in its entirety. Listen, I understand when we didn't know what was going on, precautions needed to be taken. But after a certain point, like...
There's nothing wrong with precautions either. I'm sure you would, even if there was no guideline or mandatory thing, I'm sure you'd probably still have taken some sort of precaution on your own without the government.
Yeah. Keeping it clean, keeping people separated.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's like common sense shit.
I've already told the guys in the kitchen, like, listen, I know you guys hate the masks and whatnot. I'm like, but get used to it, because in my opinion, I don't really think it's that much of an issue. I think masks in the back of the house are here to stay forever.
Probably.
Because, look, if you can avoid even just the transmission of a common cold, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's less of a risk.
But as far as the front of the house goes, like, you're losing that personal touch.
Yes.
And you're losing any sense of just humanity with
them. That interaction that you have with the bartender makes all their tips.
The bartender is like he's like your counselor. Yeah. You know, your friend, they serve
your therapist.
Yeah, therapist, everything.
If I had to wear a mask behind the bar back in 2010, 2011, I might have never met my wife. I met her at the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't have that now. You're just sitting at a table. You have to come over and mask, gloves.
Well, we were out over the summer, we were out in Montauk, and we go there every summer, and it's always a blast, and all the bars out there are crazy. And so we went to this one bar, Memory Motel, which was known for being just a nonstop shit show continuously. They had us at tables outside, and I mean, they were... It didn't even make sense how bad they were.
It wasn't. It wasn't their fault. There was literally like a health inspector standing outside, and it's like an outdoor place. He was standing outside with a flashlight, pointing it at people if they broke the rules.
One of our buddies stood up without a mask on, and they were like, "You need to sit down and put your mask on." He's like, "I'm leaving." He's like, "You're not going anywhere. Sit down." What? Which is let me leave. Like
it's the fucking Gestapo, man.
It is. It's
crazy. Yeah. Like if that was me, and the guy came over, I'd start coughing on him.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well.
Fuck it.
But at least you haven't seen any, like, insanity other than, like, the Karens here. Because, like, there's been places where, like, when we went to Secrets and when we went to Montauk and stuff, where it was just, it was literally, like, military takeover of these restaurants.
Did Secrets really have those tables that you went underneath and they gave you 3 feet that people were walking around
with? Oh, that's when it first, like, when they were first allowed to open up, they had, like,
they
the
had
personal
things,
space
right?
things. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, when we went to Secrets in Ocean City, it was
depressing.
Yeah, dead depressing. Yeah. You know, it was only for eating food and then get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It was nothing else. No party atmosphere. Yeah.
No,
you know, imagine how much money a place like that lost. It's like banking on that like huge summertime party rave atmosphere. Well, they couldn't do that at all.
Right.
So
I'll do you one better, right? Cuomo shuts things down on March 15th. The White Plains St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yes,
that following week.
Yeah. Broke our hearts
now,
that
listen,
we lost all those.
It used to be a really, really big thing. Back when Maranek Avenue was what it was, St. Patrick's Day was crazy.
Yep.
I mean, even me down the block, the Turtle, off the beaten path, we would order anywhere from 300 to 500 cases of Bud Light. And anywhere from 30 to 50 cases of Jameson.
Yeah.
Now imagine you're a small business, right? You order, let's say, $20,000 in inventory because you know you're going to do $60,000 that day.
Yeah, everybody got screwed when they canceled that parade.
They didn't, right? The business didn't think it was going to get shut down.
No, but there was just nothing. Like all of a sudden now, right? So Governor Murphy in Jersey announces today that starting on March 6th, we can go up to 10% indoors, 15% outdoors for sporting events.
Right? Yeah.
Why are we waiting a week when we can open back up when you shut us down overnight? You give businesses no time to react. So there are businesses that took in all this product. Now, luckily, beer and liquor doesn't go bad.
True.
But guess what? The invoice has to be paid. And for beer, 14 days. Liquor, 30 days. The New York State SLA has not changed a single thing on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at
nothing
that.
Nothing changed on that.
Yeah.
So now think about the places that ordered a shitload of corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Unless it comes in cryovac and you don't touch it, if you freeze it, you're good for a year. Who's going to want... corned beef that's been frozen
for a year. Nobody,
year. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think Steve Rogers would have been for 70 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue. With
everybody took a hit for St. Patrick's Day.
A lot of the rules, you know, was they overreacted to an extent. And like you said, overnight would change a rule, but then they wouldn't change that other rule you're saying, the SLA and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they should have... you know, had like a group of people that realized, like, okay, if we do this, it's going to affect business this way, and we have to have a corresponding move to make things a little bit easier for them. It didn't seem to be like that all-encompassing thought into
it. No,
it was just, let's take shit, throw it at the wall, and guess what? These little minions, they're just going to listen to us.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make me cut back on my restrictions, and I'm sitting on all this inventory, it's New York State Liquor Authority. They're the ones that dictate you have net 30 days to pay an invoice.
Yeah. Help me out, bro.
Give small businesses with under 50 employees or under 100 employees who haven't turned their payroll off, who are still paying their payroll tax and still paying their quarterly sales tax, give them an extra 30 days.
Yeah.
Work with them. Because right now, if I miss a payment by one day, my account gets locked because I'm on probation. I just got my liquor license.
Okay.
I make one mistake, I'm done.
And with that, Doom Nation, we'll be right back after a few messages.
What's up, everyone? It's the Two Doom Men, and we're here to tell you about a partner of ours, the Patriot Cigar Company.
The Patriot Cigar Company's story started with the idea of incorporating the love of cigars with the love for freedom and America. There is no better way to celebrate our love for our country and freedoms we cherish than smoking a premium cigar.
After months of trying out different blends and working with master blenders, they created the Hellfire, TNT, Sidewinder, Moab, and Mark 48, which we have right here. Each cigar is made with premium tobacco, aged a minimum of 3 years in Nicaragua.
You know, this is a true story. I had really fallen off smoking cigars for a while, and I just couldn't find anything that I enjoyed or wanted to sit through until I was introduced to the Patriot Cigar Company, and these are honestly some of the best cigars I've smoked in a long time.
And the best part about it is you could go to mypatriotcigars.com and use our promo code DOOMED to get 15% off your order. So if you're ready to enjoy a nice cigar, head on over to their website by using the link in our episode description below.
Oh, yeah. So imagine how many liquor licenses just got wiped out during that.
On top of that, like, you need to know all that, too. You need to be on top of your game. It's not, you know, like, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, not easy running a business.
Listen, every morning, I used to never, ever watch the news, because to me, it was just depressing.
Oh, it's so depressing. It still is.
No, but I'm talking, like, back, like, my wife's like, put the news on. I'm like, I'd rather watch Two and a Half Men or everyone loves Raymond.
Yeah.
She's like, why? See what's going on in the world. I'm like, someone got raped, someone got murdered, some politician stole money, and someone said something racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Like, basically, like, got that wrapped up.
I'm like, was that the news or the Family Guy recap?
Yeah.
Which one was it? Can you tell me? Because it's the same thing. But now I'm waking up every single morning or every night before I go to bed, and I'm reading through the news. I'm reading through online, seeing what rules do I have to follow today. Mm.
Yeah.
You have to.
And that was the other thing. This, you know, they made all these decisions early on because the science wasn't there, whatever. But nothing let up. This was not a fluid operation at all. And this is where I bring into my, you know, my theory. It was just an all-out war on small businesses. Because if this was really about your health, then why did liquor stores and fast food restaurants remain fucking essential and shit like that? Yeah. I understand drive-through and all that stuff. Yeah, but
I'll fight you on that right now, right? There's a Wendy's on the block and a Burger King on the block. It's the second busiest Burger King in the Northeast. Burger King, because they don't, the rule is the 10 o'clock curfew, now 11 o'clock. If you hold a New York State liquor license, you have to close at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you can stay open as late as you want, just not for indoor dining. You can have your drive-thru. So the diner down the block, that's right on the middle, on the cusp of 287 and 87, right by the bridge where all these truckers are coming over, they just lost all their overnight income.
Yeah.
They just lost everything.
Because they have a liquor license, even though they're a diner and they're really serving food.
But nobody's going to just give up their liquor license, right? So my argument was, and I'm sure, I think you actually posted my first open letter.
I did,
to Andy, right? What's safer, in all honesty? Coming into a full-service restaurant where the staff is wiping everything down after every single turn of the restaurant, doing bathroom checks every 15 minutes when the law is only every 30 minutes, and sitting down, having a meal, everything being done in a brand-new high-temp dishwasher that cost me $8,000.
Jesus.
Or you really think that the person at the drive-thru window
gives a fuck?
Is washing his hands in between each thing, and
right.
I hear, oh, they wear gloves. Here's my argument against gloves.
They're washing the gloves?
I was in Stop and Shop, right? There's somebody walking around. She's touching all the pasta. She has her gloves on. She has her goggles. She has her mask, her face shield, everything. Great. She's being protected. She takes all of her groceries after picking up all, like, five different boxes of pasta and putting them back on
Thank
the shelf.
Thank you.
Okay? She walks out to her car. She's unloading her car. Now, I'm driving ready, but I see her, so I put the car in park, and I'm watching everything. She's loading everything into the car. She closes the car. She gets in her car. She starts her car, puts her hands on the wheel. I got out of the car. I knocked on the window. I said, Miss, have you ever worked in a restaurant before? She's like, why would I ever want to do that? I'm like, because in a restaurant, you'll learn about something called cross-contamination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go, do you think Timmy the bagger is wiping down every box of Ronzoni that you just touched? I go, every single thing you just touched with your gloves on is now on your steering wheel,
mm-hmm.
is now in your ventilation system.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had this problem with Whole Foods. I was standing outside forever.
That's your first problem.
Yeah, well, I was standing outside, and I'm like, what's the point of this line? They're like, for your protection. I'm like, oh, okay. And I walk inside, and they had raw bars of soap, and people are lifting their masks and smelling this one, putting it down, smelling that one. And then you walk over to the produce. I don't like this apple. I don't like that orange. What? Who are you protecting me from? Yeah. What are you protecting me from? It's dirtier in here than it was on the line.
The gloves make no sense. They almost give people a false sense of security.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
It makes more sense to just continually keep washing your hands often.
Yeah.
Because if you just wear gloves, I'm safe now. I don't have to worry about anything. Right, but you, as you said, you're cross-contaminating
Are you
everything.
Safe if I take my gloves and I dip them into chicken, raw chicken,
right.
and then go eat a tortilla chip?
Right.
Guess what?
No.
I just got salmonella.
Exactly.
Out.
Like, you're way worse now.
If you can't put ready-to-eat food underneath raw chicken, why would you not? Why would you want to push for gloves?
Yeah,
it makes no sense. And to, I can't. Even
go ahead, bro. It's just, that's why we have you on. Let's go.
It's like you guys said. There was no actual strategy.
None.
It was shut it all down. Small businesses bad. Go to Walmart. Go buy
the box stores were fine.
You want to know why? Because the box stores make generous donations.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Campaigns, and I ain't giving nobody a goddamn donation. Yep. I'm donating to the Little League. Mm-hmm. I'll donate for them. Yep. I ain't donating to politicians. Absolutely
of course.
Not.
I said that.
Absolutely not. I told my buddy who lives in the area. Elmsford is 1 square mile. It's a very, very small town. The second a seat opens up on the council, I'm running.
Go for
it. And Elmsford's a good town. Like the village, they support us. The mayor's been in here multiple times. Police department comes in here multiple times. Everyone loves this place. They've been very receptive to me, and I made sure to repay that back.
You should.
But guess what? There are a lot of fucking wackos out there that are going to come in and say, you know what? I don't like that they get to have a neon sign, but nobody else can. They should get theirs taken down because it's not fair that everyone else doesn't
have it. That's the whole nanny state, you know.
It's crazy. So it's like you need to run. You need to get your voice out there. Like
somebody once told me, like, honestly, just focus on local politicians because like the president and the House and the Senate are never going to do anything for you. Just fix your own town that you live in, so you can live in it happily.
Yeah, as much as we bitch and complain about Biden and Pelosi and Ted Cruz
and Trump too. Listen, I was a Trump supporter. Did I just bow down and Trump did everything amazing?
No, absolutely not.
Listen. He did a lot of good things. He said a lot of real fucking stupid things, too.
Yeah.
I even admit he said it, you know.
Yeah.
When he signed that COVID relief bill that sent all that money overseas, that's when we should have stormed the Capitol.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like the idea of like, there's people who, like, worship Trump. No, you know, like, I don't like the idea of...
There's people who worship Biden.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. But and Obama and Bernie Sanders, too. You should never worship a politician.
An elected official.
As Ted Cruz proves to you, when, you know, you should be down in the dirt with your people, they take flights to Cancun, you know, and that goes across the board. Like, that way of thinking that, like, this is my guy and I love him to death. We have friends that have fucking posters of Trump in their house, and they have the family portrait. Like, we're back in Nazi Germany when you had Hitler on your wall. They have Trump in there, like... Why? That guy is supposed to be working for you. You shouldn't be worshiping him.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten that over the years.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And that goes to like AOC too. People worship the ground she walks on. Meanwhile, she doesn't do everything that she really should be doing, you know? Like,
please tell me if you know anybody personally that worships the ground she walks on. I'd like to buy that.
I do.
There's somebody. There's going to be somebody.
All you have to do, though, is go on Twitter, look at her feed, and just you throw up in your mouth.
I know. Honestly, I pretty much... I looked at Twitter the day of the Super Bowl, just to see what was going on, and I looked at it today, because Clark Schmidt's now out for a full month after 3 to 4 weeks. So it's like, I'm looking at it for sports only.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, I follow the Yankees, like, feed, and I get the stuff people talk about in there.
That's it.
Yeah, I look at it every day for, you know, podcast reasons, to have my, like, finger on the pulse, and you shouldn't. Like, it's just...
My Twitter account is the podcast page. I don't even have a Twitter account.
It's not following that much.
If Facebook keeps, you know, interjecting in the private, you know, group chats and stuff like that, I'll get rid of that. I don't care.
It's crazy. I mean, Pete here used to use the Facebook for, like, pretty much everything. They never used Instagram. It was all Facebook, but that was also... It's a much older client.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And listen, Facebook is a decent tool.
It's not great.
It's nowhere near what it used to be.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Like, you guys used to come to the Turtle all the time when I was there. Facebook back then would actually show you things in the order it was posted.
Right.
Not by these stupid algorithms, right?
Yeah.
And Instagram stopped now. Now their algorithms now, likes mean absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. It's about how many people save your content. Who the fuck is going to save a restaurant's content? Any restaurant. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going
to
do it.
I'm familiar with that stuff, too, from trying to promote the podcast. It's crazy.
Even like these food bloggers and whatnot. Like, one of them came in. We were talking the other day. She's like, yeah, you know, you got to tell your followers to save all of your stuff and not just like it.
Who wants to do that now? Like, every time you post something, they're going
to
save it?
I'm like, so now I have to ask them to come in, spend their money here, go on Google, write me a review. Don't go on Yelp because Yelp is just... Fuck Yelp. It's like, no, just come in, have a good time. Like, I almost want to put, like, safes on the table.
Put your phone in them.
Instead of the hand sanitizer. I saw a restaurant that did this, and I was talking to my buddy about it, and I'm pissed I didn't do it myself. They put lock boxes on the table. If the entire table didn't touch their phone for the entire meal, they got, I think it was 20 or 25% off the check.
And with that, Doom Nation, we'll be right back after a few messages. What's up, Doom Nation? It is Skaggs here, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Two Doom Men podcast. If you like political discussion, guns, beer, movie, and TV reviews, smash that like button, subscribe to our channel, and share the show with your friends. That's the best way we can get around Big Tech's algorithm. You can also just go to linktree.com/twodoommen to find everywhere the show has a presence. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Skaggs89. Thank you, everyone, and let's get back to the show.
Yep,
that's a good idea.
I've heard of games where like everybody goes out and you put your phone in the middle,
first
face up,
it, pays the bill.
Yep, whoever can't fucking just go the whole dinner without doing it, you're the one paying.
Yeah, that's a problem on a societal level now. No.
Yeah,
everybody's like phones are surgically attached to their hands and they can't get out of it. And you know, add now the masks, the lack of stay home, don't go socialize with anybody. Can't stay out past 10 o'clock. What do people do when they stay out past 10 o'clock? They sit at the bar and they drink, they talk to other people, they laugh, they have fun, they exchange ideas, they have conversations. Yeah.
Well, that's the one that's...
You can't exchange ideas. You can only have their ideas.
Yeah.
It's everything...
Well, just like that article said, no more critical thinking.
Oh, yeah. Everything that's been going on is like, the country's very divided, and everything that's going on is only making it worse.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to go back. I think the initial bump is going to be hard. I think once everybody has a few fun, like, nights under their belt, things will go back to normal. The restaurant business, I think food-wise, you'll see the turnaround right away. But I think, like, the whole bar being packed for, like, a Saturday night of party and stuff, like, with live music, I think it's going to be a little bit before that because people are used to being homebodies now. People are used to... not going out late, not staying out till 4 o'clock in the morning. It's gonna be a different. It was like almost taking like a year off. You know what I mean? And then you have to get back into the trenches and go crazy again.
I mean, I definitely agree because I was joking with the staff the other night. I'm here pretty much every day from I'd say 9 a.m. till at least 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I live up the street anyway, so I can run home fairly if I needed to. And I was joking with them. It was like 8:30. I looked. I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted. I'm like, if this shit ends tomorrow, we're open. We're allowed to stay till 4.
Yeah. I'm like, how are you going to do it?
I got a kid at home. I have a wife at home. Like, I got to take a nap or two three. Like, I don't know.
Dude, those thirsty turtle days that we were all at, those are over. Just to put like, even when we've hung out, like, at our friend's house and, like, 12:30,
can't make it
we're
as
all,
long.
We still drink just as hard, but 12:30, we're falling asleep all over ourselves, and then we usually end up going home. We used to stay out till 5, 6 a.m.
Dude, how many of those turtle nights where the lights were coming on and you were pushing us?
The lights, dude. I used to show up at work in the summer at 4 o'clock with my sunglasses on. When I would leave at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, I need my sunglasses again. There was a month straight I didn't see my father, except for when I pulled up and he pulled out.
I remember you told me this story a long time ago.
Because we used to all stay as a staff, hang out, drink, after we had drank the entire night.
There was nothing like that bar.
But all the cops would come and hang out with us after their shift.
Yeah.
So, like, they used to hate Friday and Saturdays if there was a certain sergeant working that would make them do DWI checkpoints. Mm-hmm. Because if you get one, it's 8 hours mandatory overtime, and they can't come and drink.
Yeah.
This is off... kind of off topic, but where did it go wrong for the thirsty turtle? Because that was one of my favorite places ever.
The staff was never sober. Everyone was underage.
But those are good things, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, well, they were great for us. Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? So when I started
we were in college, man.
It was November 8th, 2009.
Wow, you're good with dates.
The Yankees had won the World Series, I believe, on the 4th or the 5th of that year. So that was my first night working. I did a guest bartending stint on a Thursday night. And... 2009, I was 20, right? Nobody knew how old I was until New Year's Eve. And, it was underage, but granted, I had a fucking full mustache in the fifth grade. Nobody thought I wasn't 21. Like, when my wife met me, she thought I was 40 and my name was Abart. I'm like, what the fuck did you find attractive about a 40-year-old bartender named Abart? She was like, I don't know, I was drunk. Well, that's what the turtle
makes sense.
Yeah, that's what the turtle does.
You know, the turtle, unfortunately, went downhill just because it got sold. The company that bought the corner, used to be Butterfield 8 and Lola's and Jimmy's.
They were never able to keep that place running.
The only reason why they bought the Turtle was because they needed a New York Westchester liquor license, and that was an existing building. They were able to just do a transfer, which then got them the momentum to get the licenses for Lola's and Butterfield 8.
So they just didn't care about the Thirsty Turtle.
They changed it to the Rec Room.
I remember.
They made it live music. They tried to get rid of the underage.
Mm-hmm.
you know, listen, to me, there's underage and there's really bad underage,
right?
Right? When it comes to drinking. Not
you're always going to have, like, your 19, 20-year-olds trying to get into a bar.
I was 20 behind the bar. What were our parents doing when they were 20?
Well, when our parents were 20, I think drinking age was 18.
When did it change?
Ooh. I don't know. Way before our time.
I don't even know.
Yeah, long time ago. Long time ago.
I could Google it. That's why I brought this thing.
So, what would you like to see? Obviously, we can't go back to normal tomorrow. What's, like, some of the restrictions that you're really seeing that, like, you're like, I'm here every day. I know we don't need to be doing this.
The 50% capacity has to go. You can't mandate me to have 50% of my capacity and still keep my sales tax at the 8.5% or 8.25%. 3 days before Christmas, I had to cut a check, well, send an ACH to the state for $22,000.
Right.
Now, granted, I just took over in September. Would I have given Christmas bonuses to everybody here? Probably not. Would I have wanted to if it was a normal year? Mm-hmm. I would have gave them something, $50, Starbucks gift card, something. I just had to pay $22,000 to the state for fucking taxes at 50% capacity. Now, yes, it's money that it's coming in that, most people would say, well, you should have put it into a separate account and just use that for taxes.
Yeah, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Yeah. Exactly. That's why aren't you running a business then? Yeah.
I'm like, do you want to give me a couple $100,000 to be my partner and tell me how to run the place? What successful business do you have?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen businesses fail. Like, I'm nowhere near where I want to be right now. Like, yeah, I'm a small business owner. I achieved a goal. I achieved the dream, but it still goes on from there. Like,
this is now the work starts. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is nowhere near the end of the road. This is literally the beginning. Like,
yeah. And what a beginning.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'm.
You ever see those races where, like, the gates open and, like, the people literally, like, smash their faces right out of the gate? Like, that's basically what happened. You're like, let's start.
Yeah. Pretty much. Actually, the gate just hit me. And
I swung back and fucking nailed you.
By the way, 1984 is when they changed the.
Yeah. So our parents were.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It must have really sucked, though, for, like, the people in, like, 84. Like, I'm going to be 18 this year. Fuck you.
Yep. You think about it, too. There's definitely, like, a sales repercussions to such a
definitely.
Thing, right? Because if you now say you have to be 21 and not 18 to drink,
that's a big jump,
A big jump. That's a lot of people in that little group that now can't buy liquor anymore. Yeah. That's a decrease in sales.
I think anybody who was, like, 19 after... I think, like, the people who already were allowed to. Yeah. I think there was definitely some type of rule in between.
But if you're 20 and you've been drinking now for 2 years, and now you can't drink anymore for another year, that sucks.
It's like, you know, having a business and being allowed to be open at 100% capacity and then being told overnight you're down to 50. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, so I could see the capacity.
The capacity is a problem because, like, when you have this place has been here for so long, there's just so many regulars that come in, and they come in big groups.
Yeah.
You know, we still do live music every Friday and Saturday. It's not 5 and 6 piece bands anymore. It's solos, duos, maybe a trio here.
Oh, so you even have to, so you even have to know how many people are in the band.
Well, I do it for the band purposes, just for legal things for me, but I also do it because common sense, right? You're going to pay a 5 or 6 piece band a lot more than duo, trio.
Yeah.
Which, you know, listen, this hurts the musicians too. Like, most of them, this is their life.
Their stage.
This is
their
what
stage,
they do.
Right.
Like, they play 4 to 5 nights a week. This is what they do. The ones that can't afford a recording studio and to make their own music, they just go out and sing covers, get drunk, have fun, people come and see them.
Yeah.
Now they can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So for me, like, the 50% capacity is just, it's absolutely miserable because, look, after 9/11, did we ground every single airplane for a year?
No, right. It was only for the immediate.
What was it? 3 days, 4 days, and it opened back up. What did the people do who were afraid to fly?
They
drove.
Took, mm-hmm.
They took a train. They didn't travel. Guess what? There's probably still people out there today that don't get on airplanes because of that. We literally a terrorist attack on our grounds, whether it was orchestrated by Bush and Cheney or whoever the fuck it was, but it was on our grounds. And we're letting a virus that has a 99.7 recovery rate affect us more than that.
Mm-hmm. We tanked this economy to save the 0.1% of people that were going to die. And now we have a vaccine that is going to kill 0.1% of its, you know, recipients. Yeah. So what are we doing?
Just from, like, a human, you know, like, psyche, human nature point of view. People, there's a supply and demand for everything, right? So you said before 9/11, people needed to go somewhere, so they just drove. If you close all the bars, if you close all the restaurants, people are still social, you know, humans are still social animals. They're still going to want to hang out. They're going to go into their own homes. So we could actually draw a direct you know, conclusion, you know, New York, especially California, who is the absolute worst, like around the Los Angeles area, they're still 100% closed, I think, for indoor dining and whatnot. The like statistics regarding coronavirus are no different from Florida to California. So what that tells me is that making those really tight restrictions don't work.
Yeah.
At all. Look, and they're so, you know, they just don't want to admit that. Gavin Newsom, the whole recall thing on him, you know, I hope he's held accountable, but they'll never admit we made the wrong call.
Did you guys notice that they're verifying signatures?
Oh, yeah.
Now we got to verify signatures. Yeah. Now we got to play by the rules.
Yes. But here's my thing, right? Make everything strict, right? We both went to Catholic school. We all know what happened in that Catholic school with these strict rules and this and that. And everyone's like, oh, no, there's no drugs in a Catholic school. Iona Prep doesn't have drugs. Fuck that. We had the expensive drugs. You want to know why? Because all the parents had money.
Yeah.
They didn't give a shit. They left their medicine cabinets open. There was more shit going through those hallways than maybe not any public high school. There's a lot, but anything in Westchester County. So putting these strict restrictions on people, they're going to act out. Look at all look at the girls from Ursa. Look at the girls from Maria Regina. When we used to meet up with these girls, it was, and when they were out of school, forget it. It was like a dog out of a cage.
Yeah, it actually probably makes things worse, because when you repress things in people, when the little chances they get to do stuff, they
go
out.
Crazy.
They go crazy. They act out, and they might act foolishly as opposed to
like the Capitol.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. 100%.
I already said it when things go back to normal and bars are at 100% and stuff. The ER is going to be packed with alcohol-related injuries. People, DWIs are going to skyrocket.
Yep.
People over-drinking. You're going to have, hopefully not you, but like, if Turtle or something was opened up when this all got, these kids would be dying left and right. There'd be no hope for them.
Yeah, not us.
I actually trace all this back to the Turtle, because they actually blew up the building in February of last year.
Really?
I remember.
And then Corona came around in March.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew there was a lot of shit in that building, but
we released the virus. Yeah.
Thirsty Turtle was ground zero for COVID.
Well, you know what? If you survived those nights, then I haven't gotten COVID yet.
Because I have my shirt hanging up in a display case.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
Put it up. I was waiting for like 2 months for that display case to show up.
That's great.
It's my actual one with the rip underneath the arm and everything.
There you go. Yeah, the thing, you know, that I would really like to see change, I just want to go to a restaurant and have drinks. Like, why do we need to get... I understand, like, it's good for you. You're going to make money.
And that's what it comes down to. If Cuomo had a better PR team, they could say, listen, we do think that we should eliminate just drinking at a bar, because if we have three or four more of these, I have a 2-block drive home, I'll be okay. But if we have three or four more of these, we're going to get sloppy and probably do something stupid and rip our mask or forget it, whatever. But if we eat, we may not get as drunk. All he had to do was come out on camera and say, listen, small businesses have been absolutely dismantled by this virus. We're going to allow indoor dining at 50% with your mask, with everything. And in an effort to help these businesses, when you have a drink, you have to order food as well. That's it.
Right. There could have been a more common sense approach.
If you just word it in a different way, people will go for it.
Yeah.
When he just says, no, quote, like, and it's...
Well, that's the emperor complex.
But he put these rules in right before I took over. And it sucked, because the second I saw that, I literally started putting menus together of Cuomo chips.
Yeah.
Like, it was just nonsense stuff. Literally, one potato chip on a plate. Here, you eat.
Yeah.
And now, wings aren't a meal. That's not food.
Right. They'll just move the goalposts until
they're telling you what you can and can't do. Just order something off the menu.
Just eat something. Yeah. I don't care. You want a piece of bread?
Dude, we went to a bar in Connecticut. And the waitress, when we put in our drink orders first, was physically shaken. She's like, I can't take this order. Are you guys going to order? Yes, just get us all pizza to the table and bring us our drinks.
What?
Then we're waiting for the drinks. And we're like, oh, the drinks haven't come out yet. She's like, oh, yeah, your food's almost ready.
They waited. They didn't bring us the drinks until the food
was on the table.
Like, we were going to get the drinks and then run out the door. Before we got the food.
Some people might. And that's the problem.
I mean, maybe some people might.
Maybe.
But that's the problem. The problem is that, like, you never know who's coming in the restaurant, right? So I sent in secret shoppers here for months. Months. Just to get feedback on everything. Not really to see, like, oh, is this person stealing? Is this happening? Like, no. Go in for lunch, sit down, order this, this, and that. give me your feedback, take pictures, tell me what I got to work on, what the bathroom's clean, where this. So, like, if me as the owner was, not even the owner yet, potential owner, was sending in secret choppers, you don't think dickhead fucking Cuomo up there would have sent in secret choppers to see if, you know.
Are they following the rules?
A restaurant, a bar out in Brooklyn when the restrictions first hit. This was in September when we were when you had to eat something. Guy went in, undercover trooper, went in two out of three days he went in. Just sat at the bar, had two beers, bartender didn't force him to eat anything. Trooper just got up, left, filled out his paperwork. Not even a trooper, recruit. He was in the academy. Bar gets a letter a month and a half later. $25,000 fine.
Nice.
And a 3-month, they revoked the license for 3 months. Because the guy had two beers and didn't.
Yeah. Is this why that gym owner who's become famous now can get away with it? Because he doesn't have a liquor license or anything, so there's nothing like... You know what I mean? He just keeps ripping up those notices.
The state could go there and shut him down on a mental health warrant if they really on a mental hygiene warrant if they really wanted to. Because I mean, look,
it's a gym.
A gym. You never know. But I mean, I wish. Like, if I get a fine, I'm fucking ripping it up. We're coming and doing this again. We're gonna rip it up in person.
Yeah, that's fine.
You see, that sort of behavior is suspicious to me because now when you behave like that, you're
a target.
Yeah, and it's almost like. There's an agenda behind to...
Well, that'll get you the social media attention that you want.
You know, are they doing that to Walmart? Are they doing that to Target? Yeah, are they doing... You know?
Of course.
They're not.
No.
So my opinion is that in the background, you know, Walmart, Target, Amazon definitely lobbied these guys. And were like, you know...
Yeah, of course.
If you can use the situation to expand our, like, control over the marketplace, do that. Do that.
Well, think of what a health inspector on a regular day would look for in here. Mm-hmm. You think that Burger King passes half of that shit down the street?
Listen, I worked part-time. Well, I was full-time, but I really only worked about part-time. I was a VP of Ops for Wingstop for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've gone in these places, and I'm like, there's no way this is passing a fucking health inspection. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm talking with the owner because it's individually franchised, and I'm like, you need to do something about this. He's like, well, it's all the staff. Like, you need to motivate them more. I'm like, no. Like, these are people who work for minimum wage. Right. They're not given the tools that they need. Like,
or the fuck to get.
Well, exactly. I'm like, they're not getting the gloves they need. They're not getting the materials they need from you. So this is on you. I'm like, dude, they can literally make more money by sitting home than going to work. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So no, a health inspector coming in here versus Burger King, if I got a lower score than a Burger King, I would fucking lose my mind.
Yeah.
Lose my mind.
Yeah. But Burger King brings in how many billions a year?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm sure they contribute a tremendous amount of you know, to politicians' campaigns.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the minimum wage. Now's a good time to ask your question.
All right, so Biden kind of threw it out today, but explain to the world what would happen if just tomorrow they're like $15 minimum wage. Like, I'm sure you're probably not in favor of this.
So for restaurants, it's different, though.
That's because what I was going
to
ask you.
You have to keep in mind. For restaurants, for people who work in the front of the house and they're tipped, mm-hmm. So their actual wage is $9.35 an hour, and there's a $4.65 tip credit. Basically, if you work 10 hours and you don't make a minimum of $46.50 in tips, then I have to make up the difference to get you to $15 an hour.
Wow,
it's all ADP calculates it all. It's all good to go.
Okay.
For the back of the house to get to 15, personally, it really wouldn't affect me as much. Because all the guys are at 14 right now anyway, because Westchester County went up to 14.
Right.
Actually, Westchester County was at 14 all of last year.
Yeah. I think New York is past it to get to 15. It's just incrementally?
Yeah, it goes up again on New Year's Eve of this year up to 15.
And
tipped minimum wage, I think, goes up to, I think, like 10.65 or something.
Right.
So for me, it wouldn't really affect as much. If I still had all these restrictions, it still would. Like, there's nights where... We cut back. We used to have a hostess, a busboy, a server, and a bartender every single night.
Yeah.
Fridays and Saturdays, we'd have two servers, maybe three extra guys in the line. Now it's like, no, it's a bare-bones staff. There's a bartender and a server, and I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the busboy. I'm the dishwasher. I'm whatever I need to be. If it's slow and I can sit at the end of the bar and just get some work done, I do that. If it's busy, great. The server and the bartender make a shitload of money because I'm not taking tips, and it is what it is.
But, okay.
But for minimum wage, just to jump from... New York, I honestly don't think it'll affect that bad.
I don't think so either.
Because New York's already at 14. Mm-hmm. So fast food workers actually are at 14.50 this year. They were at 13.75 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So for New York, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But looking at the big scheme of things, You can't just go from fucking $12 to $15 overnight. And now listen, to Biden's credit, he has said it over and over again, like, we're not just going to do it overnight. We would incrementally
Well, yeah, that would need
to,
yeah.
And, okay, like, maybe he's not, maybe his people aren't as dumb, or maybe he can read. Who knows?
Yeah, well, he's actually said the other day that it's not,
happening at all. Yeah,
it's not happening at all.
I tried to watch that town hall thing. It
was I missed that completely.
I mean, you really didn't miss much because they were just softballs.
He's only ever going to get softballs. Yeah. Last week's episode was a bunch of fluff laughed. Pieces that they had in the news.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the whole minimum wage thing, it's kind of a debate that's broiling between me and him. For once, finally, we can get on topic.
Yeah, we could disagree about something.
We could disagree. Right. But it sounds like from what you're saying that if there wasn't these restrictions from Cuomo on everything, it could probably be done. Like, if business was booming...
Yeah, but in New York, it could be done. Not in, like, South Carolina or Florida or something.
Yeah.
If business was doing well, honestly, my guys in the kitchen would make all over minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Three of the four do. One guy's new, so he's at minimum wage. And what I do with everyone is they start out at minimum wage. You got 90 days. I do an evaluation. If you're where I want you at, you'll get anywhere from $1 to $1.50 more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because, look, I do agree you shouldn't work 40 hours here and then go work somewhere else and still live in poverty.
Right.
Now, if you're doing it because you're a junkie, you're gambling, you're drinking nonstop.
Or you just maybe want to hustle your ass off and make as much money as possible.
Yes, but if you have those problems where, like, you're just putting your money in bad places, I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're just hustling nonstop, listen, good for you. Like, I had that job. I had this place. I had a lot of things going on.
Yeah, money coming in all over the place. That's what you need to be.
Got
to
make money, got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Kids are not cheap.
No.
You can't. Yeah. You can't rewash a diaper. So that's my next.
Back in the day, they used to, right? Yeah. It was cloth ones, and then they would.
I'm surprised that's not coming back.
I'm trying.
So the minimum wage debate, I think it's going to evolve between me over time as we.
Well, now that's not happening. I mean,
yeah, I know they've taken the bullets out of our chamber here for now.
I'm sure they'll give you more.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy.
Let me ask you before we go on to, like, really shit on Cuomo. You were saying before you still do have live music and stuff, right? So I wanted to ask you, you know, like, not political. I know you do trivia nights.
Trivia is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thursday night used to be karaoke, but we can't do that anymore.
Okay. Because singing kills.
Yes.
Well, listen, I could almost understand that because you're sharing a
microphone. Yeah, everybody uses the mic.
True.
But guess what? I can easily buy these covers on Amazon for a pack of 24 for $19. Change them out, or like the regulars. If you're going to come every week for trivia, cool. I'll put an extra $1.50 on your first check that you come in. You pay for your own mic cover. You keep it.
Yeah.
You know.
Could
whatever.
Also spray it with like, you know, I have when we've had guests on in the house. I've you know, like after everybody leaves, sprayed a whole room. I spray from a distance the mics with Lysol and whatnot. You know, that might do something.
I put in a new air, like an air ventilation system. Like the guy who put it in is a friend of mine. He's a firefighter where I used to live. He does this on the side with his father. He's like, yeah, we got this purification system, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'll be honest with you. I really have no fucking clue what it does. Nobody knows what the science is behind it, but restaurants and hospitals and everyone's going crazy for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you want to do it, I'll do it for you. We'll work out a deal. I'm like, yeah, cool. Why not?
Just to say you have it.
I'm like, just do it. Just say I have it. And then someone's like, oh, what does it do? I'm like, fucking
no. It purifies the air.
It works.
Yeah. It kills COVID.
I look at the person. I'm like, do you have COVID? Like, no. I'm like, congratulations. Yeah. You're welcome.
Is it one of those ones that have, like, the UV lights inside the...
Maybe
they got
I've
here.
I've seen like, that. That actually makes sense.
They
I
got here at
say.
Like 3 o'clock in the morning. They were up on the roof doing what they had to do. They were gone by I think 6.
I've seen some. Yeah. I've seen some of them have you know like within the ducts. There's UV lights, so like the air passes through the UV light. The COVID is like susceptible to vitamin D, sunlight. So you know theoretically, if the virus is passing through the air duct, passes through those bulbs, gets killed immediately, then before it gets recirculated back into the building.
There we go. One thing I had before jumping to Cuomo. So, since being the business owner, did you get any word of things coming down the pipeline? Or so you just turn on, you know, Fox or CNN and
I find out through the news.
Yeah, that
I
is.
I find out through the news.
And then what, they send you like a letter or something later on?
They haven't sent shit.
That's amazing. So if you just lived under a rock, your restaurant's fucked.
The only letter they sent me was my sales tax being due.
Oh, well, that of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just
pay
saying,
me,
the only,
money
the,
now.
The only notifications they're going to give you of your fine, of your, you know, your punishment, and of your taxes. When it comes to like... Listen, this is what we're changing. Here's what you need to do to comply. And they've spelled out clearly, no, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They don't care.
Let's
all right,
let's
on to the emperor.
Cuomo. I have some notes here, right?
Oh, yeah, you wrote down something that's been,
Let's talk about the nursing home thing. I know it's not small business, but I know you're going to want to get into this too.
Yeah,
because this why Cuomo is under fire lately, right? So I first wanted to start with what exactly even is the nursing home thing, right? What happened and why is that even an issue, right? Because if you go on like Fox News, they say like the nursing home scandal, the nursing home this, the nursing home that. And then sometimes I'm like, yeah, I know, get them. But I'm like, what the fuck are they even talking about? Yeah. You know, who even talks about it? So I want to real quick lay out what exactly is the nursing home issue.
Your right? reading corner.
Yes. So, on March 25th, Cuomo, he issued a directive barring nursing homes from refusing people back into the nursing home because they have COVID-19. At the time, it was intended to free up space in the hospitals that were swamped in the early days of the pandemic. It came under criticism. I'm stepping on you.
Yep.
Came under criticism because it ended up sending the people who... Imagine if you were in a nursing home and you got COVID. You went to the hospital. You were going to be okay. They send you back to the nursing home because they don't want the hospital overcrowded. You still have COVID. You're now going to the hospital and you spread COVID to a whole bunch of old, elderly, vulnerable...
Underlying issues.
Vulnerable people, right? That is why the nursing home death toll was so high, because that kept happening over and over and over. They were
That's how my uncle. That's how my dad's uncle.
Yes, I have family members too. They were so paranoid over the hospital bed rate or whatever being overwhelmed that they were just like, you know, send it back to nursing home. The nursing home will figure it out. Sorry. And then the issue that came out recently is that they fudged the numbers, you know, trying to protect themselves from being in trouble for this thing. So the original count of deaths attributed to the nursing home was 87,000. It turns out it was really 13,000. And that obviously the Cuomo's aide or whatever came out.
Wait, did they report
that's what 13,000? They reported 8,700 deaths attributed
I thought you said 87,000.
Maybe I didn't. 8,700 deaths attributed to, you know, nursing homes. It really is 13,000, give you know, a change. He covered up the few thousand difference because he was scared that the Justice Department...
He wouldn't get his Emmy.
He was scared that the Justice Department under Trump was going to punish him for making the decision of sending everybody back to the nursing homes. Remember, they did give them the hospital ship, which you keep saying. They did have the Javits Center. Like, they had room for overflow situations.
Dude, the Javits Center would have held 4,000 people.
Javits Center? Dude, Westchester County. The county center.
They built the tents outside.
They built the tents. That, guess what?
I saw them. I remember.
The tents are now coming down. So now, in the middle of January and February, in the fucking freezing cold, people are lining up outside the county center on the front steps.
To get vaccinated.
Apart to get vaccinated. Meanwhile, across the fucking street, there's four fucking tents filling the parking lot. You know how many COVID patients went in those hospitals?
Zero.
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 Yeah.
You know how many patients went on the USS Comfort in the city? 14.
Yeah.
14 COVID patients.
I understand from that aspect. They don't want any COVID patients coming aboard a naval
that's
vessel.
That's fine.
But they should have sent all the other stuff to them.
Guess what? If I broke my leg or my wife put a knife in my neck because I said something stupid, okay.
Which could happen any day now.
Yeah, of course it should. I should have been sent to that hospital,
yes.
Not to fucking Jacoby.
They didn't use them. Cuomo even asked for this ship to come here.
He begged for it.
And it was never used. Everyone in the city should have been, if it's not COVID-related, should have been sent immediately to the Javits Center.
Richest city in the world, most populated city in the world. It went fucking barren during COVID. MSG couldn't be used. Barclays couldn't be used.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium couldn't be used. All those suites at Yankee Stadium, Legends Lounge, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
There's no reason this should have happened.
There's no excuse.
And he's worried that the Trump administration was going to punish him. Yeah, you should be punished. But now you got the Biden administration, so you probably won't get punished.
And I don't think he was worried about getting punished. I think what he was more worried about
was his image.
But besides the image, was not getting federal funding. Because, look, did anyone really honestly think that Biden got 80 million votes and was going to win? No. I don't even think Cuomo thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
So to him, it's like, I have to cover myself up. I have to cover my tracks. If I have four more years of Trump...
Right, he's going
to
come after me.
He's going to come after me, and he's not going to get me the aid that I need for the state
that
I put into bankruptcy. How do you need $15 billion fucking dollars to balance your budget?
It's still in debt.
Billion?
And we're still in debt.
Still in debt.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's amazing, because you know what? Like, I've been finding a newfound respect for some of these crazy Democratic politicians, because, like... Como, I got to give it up to him. Like, the man will always double down. It does not matter what the news is. His aides are like, all right, listen, Andy.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk
Andy,
about that.
Andy, stop doing blow for a second.
You call him Andy, too?
There's a video of you killing this person. Did you kill them? Yeah, just deny it. I don't care. You're in the video. Deny it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they what are you going to do if they question you about it? I'm going to say it's not a big deal. Fuck off. He will double. I would love to go to a casino with him.
Yeah.
He must be the most interesting person to play blackjack with. Yeah. Hit me. Sir, you have 22. Hit me.
Yes. Never. I don't
know. He can't balance the budget. He ain't going to keep a stack of chips in front of him.
No.
That's true.
No.
That is true.
No.
Another one of the issues regarding the nursing home thing is that after, I guess, he definitely realized that this was a mistake, he listened to the demands of, like, his top donors, which are the nursing home lobby, right, and the industry.
The people who give him money.
Right, and he granted them full corporate legal immunity to being held liable for the deaths in it, right? And the immunity, I looked this up, went all the way up to C-suite. Right, so I'm reading that, and I'm like, what the fuck does even C-suite mean? I Google, like, what is C-suite? That's the bigwig corporate people in charge of, like, the nursing home corporations. Mm-hmm. They have complete legal immunity from any wrongdoing in COVID situations regarding their... You know, did he do that out of the kindness of his heart? No, he didn't.
Yeah, because those are the people. That's where his bread is buttered.
Right.
To cover everything up.
You said it perfectly.
But
their bread is, that's where his bread is buttered.
Where does he have this authority to... I mean, I guess I don't know when you're
the
governor.
He has the emergency power, bro.
But how is the emergency power... Where is the clause in your emergency power that's like, you can make your donors immune to any backlash that might take place?
The problem is that we never had something like this before. So when the New York State Legislature decided we're going to grant you your emergency powers, there's nothing in the state constitution that says how long it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's states like Indiana, like Tennessee, and I believe it's Wisconsin, that they're saying, no, we're changing this shit. We're going to go to 14 days, 21, and a maximum of 60 days.
Yeah.
And we're taking this stuff back. Because if you can't figure it out by yourself in 60 days with our help,
you don't deserve this power.
You don't deserve it. We're going to do this shit.
Yeah.
Historically, like, emergency powers have never turned out well.
No, of course not.
Hitler take power by taking over the government and then declare an emergency that he needs to become chancellor
and by
for
giving
life.
Speeches nonstop.
Right. Yeah. That's literally what emergency powers lead to. That sort of shit.
But dude, Como got an Emmy and a book deal. This was all pre-planned. They knew what they were doing with this nursing home shit. And the thing is, though, that I find suspicious, I'm glad to see Como's name in the news for this. We're not the only state that did this. New Jersey did it. I think Florida did it. California did it. They followed this same protocol for their nursing homes. I think there's a total of 5 governors who did the same thing. 4 other governors plus Como who did the same thing with their nursing
homes. Definitely the Northeast. Like, they all follow Cuomo's lead.
They were all fucking.
I don't know.
But I mean, Murphy should be under investigation. I think it was in Florida, too. But I don't think the numbers were 13,000.
My boy Ron down there.
Cuomo was trying to be like the head of the 5 families.
Yeah.
That's what he was looking at this as. Like, I need to be. He wants to be John Gotti. He thinks he has the Teflon vest on. Nothing can touch him.
Yeah.
He's got his fucking brother who's going to protect him in the media.
Fredo.
Who finally is not allowed now to interview him.
Shocking.
That should have been from the beginning.
How has that not been a thing from the beginning? Like, literally from day one. Like, okay, cool.
Well, it only is now. It only is now.
Because it's a bad story.
Because it's a bad story
now. Right?
Yeah.
So they're doing it. Yeah. Is it funny, though, how what's his name? Chris got offended when someone called him Fredo? Like, they literally have that mentality about themselves. Who would ever really get or even think of such a thing?
Idiots like that. Idiots like that would. Yeah.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. The other thing that's really interesting is what happened with I was telling you about.
Oh, with his aide?
Have you heard about... No, it's not his aide.
Oh, no, the
it's
other person?
Aide. It's with Ron T. Kim, the assemblyman from...
when he apparently called him, ripping into him, threatening to ruin his life.
So to give backstory, Ron T. Kim...
And then he doubled down.
A New York Democrat assemblyman. He said that when the news came out about Cuomo's office covering up the nursing home numbers, Cuomo called Kim directly... on that Thursday and threatened his career if he didn't also go with the story and help cover up for the aide and what she said. And this guy, Ron T. Kim, says, he tried to pressure me to issue a statement and it was very traumatizing experience, Bourbon. Kim said, Cuomo proceeded to tell the assemblymen that we're in this business together and if we don't cross certain lines, and he said that I hadn't seen his wrath and that he can destroy me. according to Kim. So...
But now, did you see the follow-up to that?
That's the next paragraph.
The right thing.
Which one? The one about de Blasio?
No.
Oh, that was great, too.
I have Cuomo's follow-up to Kim saying that.
His Honor actually backed this up. They asked him.
Had de Blasio backed it up?
Backed up Kim.
Threw him right under the bus.
Have you ever received any of these calls, like a call like this from Cuomo? Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, that's what he does. He just calls and screams and yells at you and tells you how powerful he is and what he can do to end your career. That's typical Andy.
So my favorite thing about this, when I was texting you before, is that when Cuomo's response to Kim saying this is Cuomo responds saying, Kim has been an opponent of my administration since they sparred over a crackdown on the nail salon industry, which particularly impacted Asian communities in his district. He claimed that Kim was involved in a pay-to-play scheme over the issue, citing reporting by the New York Times.
Like Cuomo is not in any pay-to-play schemes.
No.
You just become the governor of New York.
So Cuomo responds to Ron T. Kim saying, you threatened me. Cuomo responds to that by threatening him, by saying, look, this guy's corrupt. He did this. He did that. That's you threatening him now in the public space. Nah. You're just doing exactly what he said you were trying to do. You're trying to destroy his career. When you say someone's in a pay-to-play scheme and this and that, you're trying to destroy his career.
He only has one move in his playbook. This is it. He has no other options to play.
He should have said, no, I wasn't doing anything. You know, Ron T. Kim, nice guy. Nice guy, you know, we just have disagreement. You know, maybe he's got his facts wrong, whatever. No, he doubles down, as you said, and he attacks him. And makes up this whole story about it and whatnot.
It's his only play. It's all he knows what to do.
So that's it. He makes statements destroying his career as he says he wasn't trying to destroy his career.
It's a joke. It's a joke. There needs to be a legitimate. I don't care about the nursing home because obviously we do, but there needs to be a full investigation on every single move he took.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, I was here the day that he shut down New York City dining, right? And they have the numbers up on the screen. Back in, I think it was December, right after Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving. We're shutting down New York City dining. They had the graphics up on the screen that 77.4% of positive cases in Manhattan were traced to living room gatherings. Mm-hmm. 1.43% were traced to restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, fuck the restaurants.
We follow the science in New York. That's what he says with his fucking hand going, like, follow the bouncing ball. We follow the science. What fucking science are you following?
Mm-hmm. Only the convenient science.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It was a war on small business.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. If you're going to say you follow the science, okay. Show us the science. Show us
1% isn't science.
No. Show us everything. Because if it's factual out there where us sitting here right now is me putting you guys, your health, in jeopardy, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do it to you. I don't do it to me. I don't do it to my kid. Nobody. But when there's literally there's no science to back this up, why? Well, why are we doing this?
I heard about in California, obviously, same exact situation, and there was a group of like restaurant owners, small business owners that banded together and they sued Newsom and like Los Angeles, the mayor, and
it happened
whatnot.
In New York.
And I'm not sure about the New York one, but I'm pretty familiar with the California one. And when it went to court, the defense from the state was, no, well, we have these studies that show that it's tied directly to indoor dining. You go to court. Okay, well, present your evidence, present your studies in court, and we will, you know, then rule in your favor. They had nothing. They had literally nothing. Right?
Shocking.
The judge rules in favor of the small businesses that this is wrong and they should be opened up, and he rules in favor. The state appealed the decision. Why? You made the whole thing up. Yeah. It wasn't true. You lost in court, and then you appealed the decision, forcing the businesses, restaurants, and indoor dining to stay closed. You lost, and you continued to play the game.
It's a bigger thing than anybody could fathom.
It happened in New York about 3 weeks ago. 91 restaurants in Erie and Monroe County, up by Buffalo, they all sued Cuomo for the restrictions, saying that there's no science to back up that after 10 o'clock, COVID is dormant, and he's overstepping his powers.
Yeah.
The judge ruled in all the restaurants' favor, and effective immediately, they no longer had to follow the curfew. They still had to follow the social distancing, the capacity limits, all that, but the judge said, no, you can't just say after 10 o'clock because that's what our parents used to tell us, like, nothing good happens after midnight.
Right.
Now, listen, most of the time, nothing good did happen. Fun things happened after midnight. Mm-hmm. Were they good? Probably not. But there's no scientific fact saying COVID comes out at 10 o'clock.
The big COVID monster.
Now it comes out at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, and now he's trying to deflect and open things up a little bit. Well, so it takes people's mind off.
I'm sure you noticed, though, the second Biden got inaugurated, everything started opening up.
But we knew that was going to happen.
I know it was, but we don't need to follow science anymore. Under Biden today, we broke 500,000 infected cases.
You mentioned before the counter on TV, too. They took CNN. It's gone. They took that
off. It's gone. It's gone.
It don't matter anymore.
It's gone. It's a joke.
Was this about Trump or not? You know, I mean,
they took a never waste a good crisis.
Yeah.
They took a good crisis and they use it in their own for their own benefit
and,
to get what they want.
And what I really can't wait for, because look, Trump is not a complete,
disappearing.
He's not a complete idiot, because he a buffoon sometimes. Yes, you know he has something going on in the back. Why would they want him out so bad?
Yeah.
Right. What does he have on all of these people? What are they finding on all these people? I'm talking before COVID. Mm. Like, I don't want to go like grassy knoll fucking conspiracy man on the moon kind of shit.
Hey, that's kind of how we started this operation.
But in all honesty, you really don't think that Trump wants to drain that swamp? He's got to have something on somebody.
It's 50-50. He definitely has stuff on people, but I always said this, like, to my father. I was like, listen, even if he had, like, oh, here's the video of Hillary and Obama and Bush and anybody you want to throw in there going, he could put it out there and the media would be like, this is fake news, don't believe Trump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be unless.
But you know what? But at least get it out there.
There needs to be an event or an awakening or something where it's.
Oh boy, you're going
to
cue.
I understand that, but like, it's going to need to come down to where like the proof is going to be so ironclad you can't question it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to have to get caught red-handed at once.
I think the thing is, it's not that he's going to drain the swamp, because I've told you, he'll just put his own monsters in. It's more of a, he's not part of the club, the establishment club, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's his own douchebag. He's a rich guy, and he's going to put his own cronies in there and whatnot, and the establishment's like, No. That ain't happening on our watch. Yeah. We need our cronies in here. And we're going to make sure we make an example of you. And the impeachment, two times the impeachment, they're now looking for criminal things. They're going to punish no one ever again.
They're trying to pass a bill that says if you've been impeached twice, you can't be buried in Arlington.
Yeah.
Like, just say how it's the Trump fucking law.
Yeah. He's also a billionaire. Twice. He could get married. He could get buried on the moon if he wanted to.
He probably won't be buried in Arlington. No. He wouldn't want to.
No, of
and now on now the Supreme Court today threw out a case for the Pennsylvania election but they are still going to move forward with releasing now a private citizen's tax refund returns. They're going to go after. So now that the impeachment didn't work and now that he can't get buried with them, now they're going to go back after his taxes again.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop. No. I think this might actually be a good thing for America if they just keep focusing on Trump and not doing any work in the House or in the Senate. Then Biden can't fuck up America that much. If we just, for the next 4 years, focus on Trump.
Well, like, you know what it is? It's not even 4 years. It's the next 2 years. What really needs to happen, and it goes back to what I said earlier about possibly running for some kind of local government. In the next elections, the midterms, what people need to do is say, here are the two parties. Fuck it. I don't care.
Vote green or something?
No, I don't care that I'm Republican. Guess what? Ted Cruz is a Republican from Texas. Everyone in Texas needs to vote for his Democratic.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah.
We need to just swap out
everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone.
That's what I have been
saying.
That's
what needs to happen. Because guess what? And the other side of the argument as well, it's the evil you know versus the evil you don't know. We know what the fuck Pelosi has been doing and Biden has been doing. Biden's in office 47 years. And come on, we all really think that Obama got what, 64 million votes in 2008?
Yeah, that Biden was more popular.
And Biden got 80 million.
With no campaign trail.
Yeah. When you think about it, if you remember back to that time, too, when Obama was elected, that was like, it was monumental. People were excited.
It was monumental.
People believed in him.
It was also the beginning
of social media.
Exactly, the social media.
He had the hugest social media presence of any president before him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no fucking way that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. There's no fucking way. If it was Biden and Michelle Obama running and Michelle was the vice president, I could believe 80 million votes.
Yeah.
Because I could see people supporting her because at least when Joe dies, Michelle goes in.
Right, really, she's popular.
But like, Kamala? Seriously?
She wasn't popular either. We've quoted it multiple times. She polled at like 1%.
I said this for on when Joe Biden was getting inaugurated, Facebook was swarming with all these women crying and saying how great it is for a woman to be VP. And it is great that a woman became VP, and a lot of people aren't ready to have this conversation. Yeah. But where were you during the fucking prime? She polled at 1%. She didn't become VP because she was such a great DA or a great senator and all this stuff. She became VP because she was a woman of color. She was picked on her sex and her race.
Exactly.
Not by her merit, nothing.
The party that says that me personally, because I identify as Republican conservative, the party that says I am racist and
sexist. You're a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
I'm a domestic terrorist. They classify me as racist and sexist. They picked their VP
based on race and sex.
Solely race
and
sex.
And also, it's a party of people who don't want an old, rich, white guy running everything, and they picked an old rich, white guy.
Yeah.
It's a hypocrite party now. I consider myself a liberal, right? But I'm not. The Democrats have become
what you see today is not. Yeah,
it's not. It's they don't even have liberal values. Like
exactly.
Liberal values are like no war, let people do whatever they want. You know,
smoke
healthcare
weed.
For all, smoke weed. Those are not even things they're working on. They're doing everything that's like you're racist, you're racist, you're racist. Now we have to force policies based on race, like
if
policies
you,
on
you,
race discrimination based on race.
Yeah.
It's just they spin it
in
a positive way.
The new COVID bill for farmers: if you're a farmer of race, you get more money and shit like that. But they, Jen, what's her name? The new, Miss Circleback. They asked her in an interview. They were like, "So what is Biden doing to help small businesses?" And her answer was like, "Well, he elected a woman to be the head of the small business fund, whatever it was." Okay, I'm great. A woman's doing it. Is she qualified? Is she doing anything for anyone?
And that's where the conversation needs to just begin and end.
Yeah,
I don't care. White, black, purple, brown, woman, transgender, male, whatever the hell you are you qualified?
Right.
That's all I care about. Like, listen, I think I know sports pretty well. Am I qualified to be the next manager of the Yankees? Maybe on Facebook after the game, I am. Not during the game.
Yeah.
Like, not. You're a big Giants fan, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be good on the sidelines.
No.
Probably not.
It's not at all.
It is what it is.
I think also you have to take into account, but you would go there with the intention of making the Yankees win and doing the right thing.
Make the Yankees
so
win
I think
again.
We also, you're saying, are you qualified? Qualified is one aspect. But are you going to go in there to do the right thing also? Because, you know, I'm not going to say Kamala is not qualified to be president. She's qualified. She's smart. You know, she knows what she's doing.
She's good at lying.
But is she
going to
do the right thing? That should be part of being qualified. And, you know, 90% of politicians, 99 maybe, are not qualified in that regards. They're there for special interests. Their
and
own
a money-making
personal
scheme.
Agenda. That's part of, that should be part of, like, they're there to serve us.
Dude, just because it's a woman taking care of small business means nothing to anybody who owns a small business. That doesn't matter.
That woman who's in charge of it, has she ever owned a small business before? Yeah. Has she worked in a small business before?
What's her plan?
What does she know about it? What does she want to do? Where is she going to start? What's her grassroots campaign? Mm-hmm. Where is she going to help these small businesses? Is it going to be in major cities like New York and suburbs like Westchester? Or is she going to be helping them in fucking Idaho and fucking South Dakota?
We'll circle back to that.
Yeah, when there's nobody there. Like, what is your plan? Yeah.
We'll have to circle back to that.
It's a joke. Yeah.
There's a funny situation going on right now with confirmations with, I don't know if you guys have heard of her, Neera Tanden. This is like real deep in the weeds of politics, but long story short, she's been nominated to be like head of the Congressional Budget Office or something like that. And historically, she's been super outspoken, rude, critical of progressives, Bernie, AOC sort of style policies. And it's been like noted over the years, but it's funny now because she's a woman and she's Indian. Those same progressives are coming to her defense for her confirmation. Where like,
you're gonna ruin my career, but go you.
She's done nothing but shit on progressive ideals like Medicare for All and a lot of Bernie's proposals.
Oh, hey,
but
then,
Bernie's
all the
like,
best luck
Bernie
to her.
seems Bernie seems to be willing to accept her nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she's a woman, but she's not going to push any of the agenda that you guys
want.
They're willing to sell out their own agenda to get
when the next person on that committee tries to throw their name in the hat to run for president in 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, whenever, when they're up there in the debate stage, like, well, I was one of the only people to actually confirm a female Indian American head of this committee. So this is why I'm. This is why I'm qualified. I should be qualified.
Yeah. Right. Their positions, also, their thoughts would be damned.
But also at the same side, you have to sell out your position, because if you're like, no, fuck this bitch, you're sexist, you're racist, get out of here, we're going to cancel you now. Mm-hmm.
But that's what like this world needs to get back to. Like, look, when I was... This is going to sound like a Sebastian Maniscalco skit, but it's the truth. Like, when I was growing up, my parents literally put me in basketball in CYU. Yeah. I can't shoot a basketball. I can't do any of it. I didn't play for like two games in a row. Guess what? My dad said, hey, you suck. Go in the yard and practice. He didn't go and yell at the coach.
Yeah.
Put my son in. He deserves to play. Blah, blah, blah. No. It's the same thing with this fucking nonsense. Stop with the, oh, you just said no because she's a woman. No. She has
said no because she's not qualified.
She has literally not a single qualification. She used to work at fucking Target as the HR manager, and you want her to balance the budget for the fucking country? We owe $17 trillion to the fucking Decepticons.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
That's a whole nother
money going.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a whole nother.
There's no accountability for that whatsoever.
We've tried to get into sometimes like the economic like policy that the government has, where they seem to just print the money and we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, like, but
they digitally print it with the hopes it'll pop up somewhere.
They get to do that. Yet, if I want to go and buy a fucking, if I want to go buy a house, Experian's going to tell me, "Nope, sorry, you can't do that."
Right,
but you could pay rent that's more than the mortgage.
Exactly.
But we're like so far away from even being able to have that conversation because there's so much other shit in the way.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, even the Republicans do that. You know, they know better. The budget, you know, the deficit went up tremendously. So like, we can't even have that conversation because that's not even on the radar.
No, yeah. It doesn't matter. Just fuck the budget. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the thing. And that's why I keep saying like this falling on Democrat, Republican, the middle is bad. Like, yes, I'm Republican, but there are Democratic policies I believe in. Mm-hmm. Like, listen,
welcome to Two Doom Men.
I have no problem. I have no problem with immigration. If you want to come here and legally pay your taxes, pay your dues, yes, I know the process is fucking miserable.
No, you're talking hate speech now.
It takes forever for people to get into the country legally, but why should I be the one that has to keep paying my taxes for these illegal aliens coming in? Come in legally. Let's figure out a plan. Let's fix the plan
for them to come in. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Let's make it easier. How about this? When you reopen the economy and you take these restrictions out, you encourage small businesses, hey, for every legal immigrant that you employ, we will give you a $1,500 tax credit or a $1,000 payroll credit or a $1,000 sales tax credit, whatever the hell it may be.
Sponsor somebody, become a legal citizen.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm sponsoring two of the guys in the kitchen when I took over. They're like, yeah, Pete used to sponsor us. I'm like, for how long? They're like, 8 years. I'm like, God damn, you're waiting 8 fucking years?
Yeah, insane.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're trying. I'm like, of course I'll sponsor you. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to kick you out of here and not have a job. Mm-hmm. I'm not that hard.
Yeah, make things worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But like this whole falling on Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter.
No, it's all falling on that now to just keep us divided.
Yeah, 100%. Keep pushing those narratives.
Yeah,
you keep people divided, so they're arguing on Twitter, they're arguing and you know whatnot, and then you could get away with you know, well, we're working on the impeachment now. We're not working on anything that would actually benefit people or undoing the mistakes we made or passing some sort of legislation to help people. We're just
I think it's a great idea. Just keep focusing on Trump.
Yeah. Now that they don't have to pass a minimum wage increase, they don't have to give us a stimulus package, they don't have to do anything, you know? Yeah. What did I say, bro? After the impeachment took 33 days. Yeah. I said they'd waste another week after that because they went on
every
vacation, right?
Network.
And I saw the defense, well, it's not vacation. They're going back to their constituencies to get the AOC's
working.
AOC's in Texas, serving her own needs.
That's why Cruz went down to Mexico.
Cruz is going to Cancun, literally going on a fucking vacation. Yeah. Come on.
Kamala spent the weekend in California with her husband.
Yes, right. Yeah. Right, but she's not in Congress though.
Did you see the welcoming parade that she had?
No.
Yeah, two people.
There was four people.
Did you see on President's Day in Florida? Trump rolled down just a random street, and there was 100,000 people out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's all a joke.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
It is.
So, with that being said, anything else, boys?
Anything else you want to talk about?
We can go on for hours.
Yeah. Well, we usually do. That's why we got
to
cut ourselves off.
That's why we have to.
We start losing listeners. We're about over an hour now, right?
Hour and 20. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You want to shout out the restaurant? Give the address. Everything.
We're here every day, 11:30 a.m. till 11 p.m. 8 West Main Street, Pete's. Been here 43 years, going on 44, and just trying to make a difference, trying to help.
That's
Perfect. Good,
man. Thank you for
having us. Please support my son needs diapers.
Listen, bro, thank you for having us. This was a good idea. The original idea definitely came from when you were like, you wrote that long essay about Cuomo. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and, I email him every morning.
Yeah,
every
that's
morning.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah. And yeah, they sent like the automated like Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas ones.
Yeah. And you just write back, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you run for office and you win, you know.
Press secretary.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not even that.
Circle back.
Come back.
Yeah,
on
we'll circle back.
Come
yeah.
back and we'll actually have somebody, you know, like an actual politician on for us. That'd be nice.
I'm always around for you, especially come the summertime. We could sit outside and actually enjoy it.
I'm down.
Cigars.
I would like to come back and just enjoy the restaurant, your business, you know.
Do that
so
too.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
I plan on eating something now, so.
Yeah, well, that's what I, once we clean up, I'm going right to the bar.
Well, you have to, because you had a drink, so if you don't eat, you're going to get COVID.
True.
Ah, shit, so you're right.
That's right.
We're going to need more drinks and chicken tenders.
Abarth's not going to let us leave until we eat something.
Yeah.
Just like
that's
the,
like the vaccine.
Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. Well,
man, thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for opening up your restaurant to us and letting all this craziness go on. All right, Doom Nation, make sure you check out Pete Saloon if you're ever in the area in Elmsford, New York. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. You can find us wherever Trump is banned on social media. Instagram is at @2doomed_podcast. Everywhere else is at @2doomed. Check us out wherever you can listen to major podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all those good areas. And we'll be back with some more reviews and more episodes next week. And also, don't forget, that raffle's going on, PS5 Digital Edition. $55 an entry, 30 entries minimum.
Yes, we need people to enter or the raffle won't take place.
Exactly, and we won't end up donating to the Small Business Fund, so that's the real push here.
I'll add to it. For every raffle that's sold, I'll give a $55 gift card for everyone that enters.
There you go.
Thank you, man.
So thank you.
We'll
try to get some people to donate.
Awesome.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Perfect. All right, Bye. Boys. Thank you.